4, DJC, Mike.
N4DJC, W4DJW.
Hey Dave, how you doing today? The weather's not being very cooperative with us, is it?
No. It's saying don't go, but then it's saying, hey, the weather's nice. Come on out here. It's tempting, but no thank you. Hey, did I see your APER speaking out there a little yesterday?
I didn't hear that.
Did I see where you were running APRS yesterday?
Yes, probably so. I kind of dove into one of these hot spots. I got a Zoom spot, and I was trying to learn all about the PyStor stuff and the Raspberry, and got one set up, and it's probably giving a position through DStor, I think, Dave.
Okay, that's what that was. I wondered what that was. I sent you an APRS text message, but it probably isn't going to get processed with that software. Anyway, I saw that David, KJ4YQK, over in Dacusville, had one of those also. So you're right, that's probably what that is.
He paid to decode APRS now, since I got rid of my Kenwood stuff. And this ICOM, it does a DPRS, but it doesn't do APRS. And at some point in the future, I'm probably going to get something set up with it. Because right now, the ISS APRS digipeater is working again. And I've been listening to it when it goes over. It's been pretty loud. It's running about 10 watts, I think, now. And they've got it, they got the cable hooked back up on it after that spacewalk they did a few days ago. And it seems to have a good bit of activity. Somebody reported one of the astronauts being on the repeater frequency, but the regular ITU zone frequency for us in a pass about less than a week ago. I think I can't remember which astronaut it was. It was a female, I know, but I can't remember which one it was that day.
Okay. Well, I didn't think about that. I should be thinking about that. I was trying to make contact with them. Anyway, I was loading the APRS map, trying to get the dynamic map on UI view so that you can scroll around and zoom in and out. And I saw your call sign. I thought, what is this? And then I saw YQK's call sign out there and thought, what is that? So anyway, figured next time I heard you on the radio, I'd ask you what was going on. Once I get the mapping and all that stuff, and I am looking at the replacement that I got for Packet Engine Pro. Packet Engine Pro, you got to pay for with every computer you move to, and I've moved it like 3 times, and I got to move it again. And there's some other ones out there, so I'm trying out other packet engines besides that one, so that I don't have to keep paying for the same thing over and over again. And I found a couple of them. One of them runs on a Raspberry Pi, so you just hook the Pi to the signal link, hook the signal link to the radio, and then hook the Pi to your network, and then your radio can be anywhere, your computer can be anywhere. They are all hooked together through. You use port 800 or 8000, and you don't have to. Everything doesn't have to be tightly coupled. You get a little bit of loose coupling there, so. That's what I'm playing around with now. But I think I'll look at ISS and see what my chances are. My chances would be a whole lot better with APRS than it would be with voice to talk to the space station. Anyway, I know, mystery solved.
The voice is when they switch the repeater back to voice again, voice ought to be pretty easy. You've got I believe you've got a D710GA in one of your cars or truck, and that would be perfect for that since it's just full duplex. You could get those two things set up pretty quickly, and with a vertical antenna, it's going to be a lot easier now because I think the voice, if they're running at least 10 watts, in some cases they're running 25, and it really only takes about 5 or 10 to get in if dropping the call at the right time, that sort of thing. And if you got it mounted on the roof of a car, the radiation angle is low enough, you can get some low passes and probably I'd make some contacts, you know, further away than, you know, a few hundred miles. I think the best I've done is Arizona so far, but no, at least the furthest is Arizona. And South Dakota, North Dakota, I've gotten both of those states a couple of times as well. If the pass is, if it's just barely above the horizon in the correct direction. So that's I mean, it's more than possible. It's probable. There was a time a couple of years ago when you could work it with a handheld. I know some guys who worked with a D-74 handheld with rubber duck on it. Didn't even have one of these extended antennas or anything. N4DJC for ID.
Well, I've watched the videos of the guys that are doing it with a handheld, and they make it look easy. And I've tried it. That's why I decided I'd build me a rotor to do to get it. Because I also noticed that they're not pointing. I mean, they've got like receive signal, transmit signal, Doppler effect on both of those. They've got like radios strapped to their chest. They've got like two frequencies, like 70 centimeters and 2 meters on a single antenna. And they're like looking at the radios and they lose track of where they're pointing the antenna, and somehow it all comes together and they make a contact. I know that there's a lot going on there, more than we have hands, more than we have brains or to multitask. So I know it's hard. I know it's possible, right? If you get computers to take care of all the stuff that you're, and you just concentrate on talking, you know, so your antennas track and your Doppler effect for your transmit and your receive are moving at the right speed, and just a whole lot. There's a whole lot going on there.
First method is to use a dual band radio. You don't necessarily have to hear your downlink. That's, people say that all the time, and I think it's good to see if you. Some people get put the tone on the satellites and use a tone and. They can hear the downlink and that sort of thing, but it's not entirely, you know, it's good to be able to hear it, Dave, but it's not a session. You can take a dual band radio even if it's not full duplex, and just have whichever, you know, if it's the downlink is off 70 centimeters, you know, that's the one you tune the Doppler for. Unless it's the uplink is on 70, you don't tune the uplink normally. You can tune the downlink. If it's 70, but you don't have to tune the downlink if it's on the 2 meter part. But what I found to do, most of the guys that I know do, they do Icon 4100s, 5100s. You know, in any of the dual band handhelds will work just fine. You got a 5 KC step there. You just set it up, you know, in increments of 5, and you'll hear them booming through, because that's what a lot of people use. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that has probably done more work than anybody as far as handheld satellite use, that's what he uses the majority of the time. He just uses a D-72, or he's used all kinds of handhelds as long as... the dual band, and having one that's got a built-in recorder is a good idea, but that's not 100% necessity.
Well, I don't have one of those ICOMs, but I do have the two of the 2000s, and they've got a satellite button on them. And I think that it will, it'll do the drift for you within the satellite mode. I haven't quite figured out how that works. I know it's available. And it's that module is in one of the two that I have, so that would help if I took the time to figure that one out. But I need to get a more dependable packet engine behind APRS, because the one that I have, after about 24 hours, it disconnects and you have to manually reset it. I'm not going to be resetting that thing every day, so my first priority is get a decent packet engine.
ISS packet being on 825 uplink and simplex, basically 825 uplink and downlink. I generally don't tune. We don't do anything with Doppler with that, because the space station's not that. It's not moving. It's moving fast, but It's not tumbling like some of the satellites are. It's got a fixed, the antenna is basically fixed. It's just traveling across the sky, so you don't have to do a lot of antenna flipping around. You can take a home-built antenna and just set it, I got mine on a tripod now, and it just makes it easier for me to swivel it and just travel it, but I don't have to, most of these antennas have a wide enough beam width where you don't have to do a lot of, you need to move it for elevation, but you don't have to be spot on with it, especially on 2 meters, and mine generally works well horizontal. Horizontally polarized at about 25 degrees, and that'll get, you'll just about get everything you want to hear, you'll just about get it that way, just track it across the sky. And the high elevation passes, it moves so fast then, it's really, anything that's like, for instance, if you look on a sat tracker, if it's the apogee is going to be maybe 30 degrees, 35 degrees. That's really an ideal situation, as long as you can see the horizon. Because that talking to somebody in Georgia, you'll be talking to somebody in Ohio or Indiana or further west, further east, New York, wherever, Florida, depending on which direction it's coming from. But the package probably is just jammed up a lot. But the thing about package, you just that thing, you have to call CQ, you just get it to repeat every half minute, or push that button on a D710 or probably a 2000 as well. And it does most of it for you. You can do automatic replies and store messages like you do. You have to type them in. It's just, Kenwood's probably got the best APRS setup that I've seen from any radio manufacturer.
Who was that? Who did you say had the best radio setup?
Well, Kenwood does. I'm not familiar with the 2000, but it is satellite capable. But the Kenwood, like the 72s, the TH6s, and any of the Kenwood handhelds. Any of the Kenwood handhelds that have APRS built in, like the D72 and the D74, and the mobiles like the D710 G8. It's an ideal setup papers for the ISS, because I mean the D710 is what's sitting in the ISS now. They got 3 of them up there now, I think.
Yeah, that's the radio I'm talking to you on now. It's the 710. Well, it doesn't say A, but I think it's a 710A, but I'm not sure which one it is. It's one of the early ones, one of the first ones that came out. It had to have the receive filters swapped out in it, because they quit worrying. The very first 710s that came out had a problem. I think the 700s had that same problem, and so did some of the 71As. Yeah, they had that problem as well. The early ones. The later ones, the newer ones, they don't use those filters anymore. They've got better filters, and they don't have a problem with them. But the 2000s is basically the same thing. I think you've got more slots that you can put data in, so you can automatically send like 7 different messages instead of 5 or something like that. But you can also use software and, have unlimited quantity that you can send, which makes it a lot easier if you use a computer. Anyway, that's what I'm doing now, is trying to get that packet interface going. You can use the TNC on those, built-in TNC, but that's a little bit more difficult to get set up. You got to use like the 16-pin connector in the back, and you got to build those yourself. Nobody's got those already built for you. So, and you got to keep in your head, am I looking at the back end of the radio, or am I looking into the plug? Because it's real easy to get messed up on that when you build those cables. Anyway, I'll be trying that, but that'll be a little bit down the road after I get this other stuff going. W4DJW.
It's busy now. It's going to be busy, pretty busy for the next little while. But I think it's the sunspot activity keeps increasing. A lot of guys move back to HF again. I think a lot of the HF conditions pushed a lot of people into satellite stuff. But and also a lot of people don't care about making a contest type contact, because that's basically what it is. And with APRS, it's the same thing, but still interesting though. And the I was talking to a guy on AO7 a while back, and you know, it's a linear. It uses and it's I think it's one of them is inverted, so it comes in. It goes at lower sideband, comes back down upper sideband, and there's a bandwidth you can work in there. It's not just one frequency. Is able to talk to one guy on that one, and the signal was pretty good. It didn't stay, you know, AO7 didn't stay on, but about, I'm not sure, 7 or 27, one of them only stays on about 4 minutes, so you better get your calls in a hurry on those two. But the 27 is the FM. And the AO7 is linear, and RS-44, the Soviet one, is really good. It's loud, and you get some real digs. But you can talk to people in Germany and England. You can work a lot of digs on those birds if you're persistent enough and get up at the right time in the morning. Head for TJC for ID.
Well, I'll have to get with you when I get ready to try to do that again. Because evidently there's a lot you got to know, a lot more than I'm aware of right now. But it sounds interesting. Anyway, I've got to go hunting down a cable. I've got to fire up a new Raspberry Pi and put the sound modem on it. And following some guy's instructions on how to get that decouple the radio from the computer. And disconnect them through that way. The computer could be, you know, at one QTH, and the radio could be at a different QTH, and you can be separated by the internet, and it'll still work. So I'm trying that setup just to get a little bit of loose coupling going on, and get a little bit more dependable setup going on. Anyway, I'll let you go. I got to go hunting for that display cable for the Pi. Take care, Jerry. Good talking to you, and I'll be looking you up when I try to get that deep into connecting with satellites. N4DJCW4DJW.
Dave, good luck. I learned a bit about the Raspberry Pi setting this hotspot up. It's an interesting situation, and I'll call on you when I come across a project I'm interested in, maybe to give me some pointers about. Have a good afternoon. W4DJW, N4DJC, clear.